The Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1 is where our text is coming from this morning, and verses 29 to 34. I'm going to read those once again for us in a different version, in the ESV. And please follow with me in your Bibles as we read together God's Word. From Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 34, here is God's holy word. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And when in the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. So far, the reading of God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we pray that you bless your word to us now, and that you will come in the power of the Holy Spirit and speak your word to our hearts. Oh, grant us the grace to listen with ears of faith, and that by doing so, we may have our eyes opened to the wonderful truths that you have laid for us in the Bible, that we may see Christ in all his fullness and glory, that we may be transformed to walk more humbly with you, to lean more strongly on you, and to draw closer to you, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us, honor your word this morning, forgive our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 34. We are proceeding in our study in the Gospel of Mark. And in this passage, we see Christ once again demonstrating his power, but this time it's his power over diseases, his power over sickness. Last week we saw his power over demons and how he exercises authority over these unclean spirits, and how, knowing the power that he has over evil, we as his people should no longer be afraid of the enemy, the devil. We are not to fear him slavishly. We are not to fear him at all. He is a conquered enemy. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. This I know, God is for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Every Christian needs to understand that and needs to be able to say that with confidence, with trust. If God is for us, who can be against us? He would not spare his own son for us. How can he not freely give us all things? But here we see now his power over sickness. And there's a very simple message given to us here, and yet very profound. And as I was thinking about it, I was trying to think, if I was to give a title to this message, what would it be? And I came across this and I thought, I must tell Jesus. It would be a good title for this sermon. And you'll find out why. But let me before we move on, I want to just read the words of this hymn. There's a hymn actually with that title as well. I must tell Jesus of all my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus of all my troubles. He is kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. One who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Now you may be thinking, where are you going with that? Where is that shown to us in the text? You're just imposing this on the text. Well, let me show you. There are three things here in this text that we're going to learn. But the first and perhaps most important one that we're going to see here is that we'll see that there is a call to prayer given to us here. Notice what happens. Jesus leaves the synagogue and enters into the house of Simon Peter, and Simon's mother-in-law is ill, right? Which by implication tells us that Simon Peter would have been married, contrary to what others would like us to think. Peter must have been married if he had a mother-in-law. But what happens? She's ill. They come to the house. She's ill with a fever. And what do the people do? They immediately told Jesus about her. That's the prayer aspect there. They didn't spend so much time going, oh, where is the nearest doctor we can find? A call to prayer. Simple call to prayer. Yet very profound. And what we are seeing here is, the lesson given us is that Christ Jesus must be our first line of defense. He must be the one we call on first, our 911. When we find ourselves in dire straits, when everything around us is falling apart, we must call on Jesus. We must tell Jesus all of our troubles. Yes, we must use means. If you are sick, it's important and helpful to go to a doctor. If you're struggling in school, it's important to talk to your teacher and seek help. If you're struggling financially, it's perhaps important to find somebody who can give you some financial advice. If you're struggling with your relationship, perhaps it's important and helpful to find someone who can help you, a counselor perhaps, or an elder or a pastor. We have to make use of the means at our disposal. But dear friends, as those who know the power of God, who know Jesus Christ, He must be the first one to whom we go with all of our troubles, with all of our infirmities, with all of our needs. And here Simon Peter and those around her, around Christ, and those who are around Simon's mother-in-law saw Jesus Christ as their first and only help. God, we sang together in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of need. Let me make this personal. What do you do when you find yourself in a difficult situation? Where do you first turn? Where does your mind first go? Your friends? Your family? Your boss? Your checkbook? Where do you first go? There's a principle here. Christ must be the first one to whom we go. 911. He's always there. The line is always open day and night. We can always access Him. Sometimes we call on our friends and they can't help us. Either because they just don't have the ability to, or they just don't want to. The people on whom we are resting may at times let us down, but Christ will never, never, never let us down. So here, let's take encouragement to call on Christ. He is a friend. Our friend. Which reminds me of another hymn that I grew up singing, and I still love this hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege we have to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Jesus, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise or forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms, He will take and shield you, and you will find the solace there. Now the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:15-16 that we have this high priest who knows our infirmities. He understands what we go through. He was tempted as even as we are, yet without sin. That should give us encouragement, confidence to know that when we call, He will answer. He says, when you call me, I will answer. So this is what happened here. Immediately, without wasting time, they told Jesus about her need, and she was healed. Which leads me to the next thing that we see here. We must take courage in the power of Jesus. There's a call to prayer, but also courage in the power of Jesus. Because when they brought Simon's mother-in-law to Jesus, the Bible tells us immediately the fever left her and she began serving them. She began waiting on them. Such power. Christ alone has that power. He speaks and things happen. He has power over demons. He has power over diseases. And so many times, dear friends, we rob of ourselves of this ever-present source of help because we doubt the power of God. We do not really think, we do not really believe that God can deal with the big mountains in our lives. And we deceive ourselves that somehow, if we just wrestle hard enough, if we just try hard enough, we'll be able to manage it on our own. No. Only those who realize the power of Jesus and their weakness will come to Him and will have the courage to know that when they come to Him, He is able to do for them far beyond anything they would ever ask or imagine. The Bible tells us, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ever ask or imagine according to His power which is at work within us. And God has such infinite power. Power that not only conquers diseases, power that conquers death. Christ died and rose again from the dead to show the power of God to all the nations, to all the peoples in the world. And you and I know that for a fact. It's not fiction, it's fact. The God who made this universe is your God. He's my God. The God who raised Christ from the dead is your God, as is my God. He's our God. So we must take courage in the face of trials and temptations, in the face of afflictions. We must take courage in the power of God, in the power of Jesus Christ. He is able. He is able. The fever immediately left her. She was well enough to begin serving her guests. Now, let me just pause there for a few moments, because a lot of people in our day stumble over this verse. Especially women, because they think this is demeaning to women. You mean the reason Christ healed her is just so she could serve them? And those who are the feminists, those who are egalitarians, they don't like stories like these in the Bible. And they'll say, the Bible demeans women. Look at this. But let me ask you, ladies. If you are lying ill on your bed, and you have the most important guest you know, the most important person you know in your life, come to your house to visit, and you are not able to get up from out of your bed to wait on them, to serve them, to entertain, to host them, how do you feel? I feel terrible. For more reason than one. First, because your husband can't do a good job hosting. But because this is a privilege. You want to show hospitality. There's something wonderful here. A special guest has come and I can't even help. I can't even host this guest. If you have healed immediately, you'd leap out of your bed, I'm sure, and you'd do the first thing you'd do is to go and wait on your guest, to show them your love. You'd prepare the best meal you know how to make. Not because you wouldn't feel demeaned, would you? No. You'd feel actually honored to serve. I hope you would, anyway. If Steve Harper came to your house, would you feel honored to serve him? And what is this nonsense that people talk about? Here is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he gives her the privilege to serve him. Do you realize that it's a privilege to serve Christ? It's a gift of his grace. And here Christ is once again demonstrating his grace. He's coming down to her level and allowing her, enabling her to serve him. Realize, dear ones, that in that culture, women were not treated in the same way that they are treated now. And for Christ, a Jewish man, for him to be able to perform this miracle, heal her, enable her to come and serve him, that was something that would speak volumes about what he thought. Not only about her, but about women in general. And throughout his life, we see him ministering to women in a very dignified way. So don't listen to those who want us to think or believe that there's anything here demeaning about women. Quite the contrary. And it's a lesson for us men that we learn from this also. But here is courage demonstrated in the power of Jesus. They believed he is able to heal. And healing he did. She got up and began to serve him. And there's more actually. Because it was not only her who was healed. A lot of people, verse 32, that evening as at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't give us a number here. With other miracles like the feeding of 5,000, we have a number placed on that. But here there's no number, but all who are sick. And I would like to just imagine, it must have been a lot of people. And the whole city was gathered at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He healed all who came to him. Excuse me. But notice one thing. They all had various diseases. That's what our text tells us. Verse 34. They all had different kinds of diseases. But all those diseases found their healing in Christ. Some would have been perhaps lepers. Some blind, some lame, all kinds of diseases imaginable. But when they came to Christ, they found their answer there. You know what that tells us? Christ deals with each one of us individually, with our particular issues. That's how caring he is. He doesn't just look at us as a mass of humanity. He looks at each one of us individually with our particular needs. He's very present in our particular situation. So let me tell you here, whatever you are going through right now, whatever it is that sometimes robs you of sleep, or peace of mind, tell that to Jesus. He'll care for it. He'll care it. He'll deal with it efficiently. in the Bible, we have a number of examples of people who, in their dire straits, in their difficult moments, called on God and He came to their rescue. A pointed answer, a particular answer was given to each of them. We read of Hezekiah in 2 Kings 20. What does he do? First line of help. He calls to the Lord, and the Lord brings healing to him. We read of Jacob in Genesis 32 verse 11. As he's running away from his brother Saul, he knows he's doomed to die unless the Lord helps him. Even though he had sinned, but he realizes, God is my ever-present help. God is my refuge. He calls on God, help me from my, protect me from my brother Esau, and God helps him. Lazarus, you remember Mary and Martha? When their brother was sick, they called on Christ. They sent for Christ to come and bring healing to him immediately, without delay. The Bible calls us, cast your burdens upon Jesus. He cares for you. Psalm 55 verse 22. Or 1 Peter 5, 7. And I love this. Let me just read this for you. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Take courage, dear friends. Present your problems to Him. Whether it's sin that you've been struggling with for a long time in your life, He knows, and He can deal with it. But you must come, you must tell Him about it. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should not be discouraged, but take it to the Lord in prayer. He will answer. He has the power to perform what we cannot do for us. Jesus never fails. The man of this world can fail us, but Jesus never fails. But there's a problem we must deal with here. As I was reading this, thinking about this text, I saw a problem with this text. And I want to talk about that with you. Because it's wonderful here to read that they told Jesus of the illness of Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and that she was healed. It's wonderful to read that all those people who were sick in that region, in that city, in that town, were brought to Christ and they found healing for their various diseases. But this doesn't always match our reality, doesn't it? Does it? It doesn't always match our experiences. I'm sure you know people, and I know people, that I prayed for healing, and healing never came. They died. Perhaps you have been praying for a particular ailment in your life, whether it's a disease, pain in your life. Oh God, let this go away. You told Jesus about it, and it hasn't gone away. In fact, it may be getting worse. What do we say to that? Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Where do we take comfort if that is our reality? If I've been battling with a particular sin and I can't seem to get relief from it, I've been battling with a particular situation in my life and I can't seem to get relief from it. Life is breaking everything around me. Everything that I'm trying to hold on to is falling apart. What do you do? Where do you turn? I think in those moments, dear friends, we must take comfort in the providence of God. Yes, we must call, there's a call to prayer here, and we must take courage in the power of Jesus. But in those situations, we must take comfort in His providence. Because He is the Lord. He is the Lord who made the universe. He is the one who controls our life situation. His eye is on the sparrow, the Bible tells us. And I know He watches over me. I may not get the answer I expected from Him. I may not get the answer today. But I know He's watching over me and He's controlling everything that is happening in my life. And that in the end, it will all turn out beautiful because in His time, He makes all things beautiful. God causes all things to work together for those who love Him and those who've been called according to His purpose. I must take comfort in that. He's the Lord. I must take comfort in the fact that He's a good God. He's good. His love endures forever. He's our loving Father. And you know, we must take comfort in that because sometimes, often, more often than not, it is through the crucible of suffering that we are sanctified to become more like Him. We are drawn closer to God in our moments of pain and trials and suffering. We must not despise those moments, as painful as they are. And God uses those moments to shape us into the kind of men and women He wants us to be. Sometimes it is to chastise us for sin in our lives, so we may be purged of the sin that so clings to us. Yes, it hurts, but it's good for us. Yes, it's humbling, but the food is always beautiful. And if you know what I'm talking about, I'm sure you're saying amen in your heart. I've heard many people say, I went through a difficult time in my life. I would never want to go back there. But I drew closer to God in those moments than at any other time in my life. You want to draw closer to God? What if that means that you have to go through pain and suffering? An answered prayer often is a blessing. Unanswered prayers. What I mean by that is, when we pray to God for a particular thing and He doesn't give us, He gives us something better. Because He knows what is truly good for us. So we may think our prayers are not being answered, when in fact they are being answered in the best way imaginable. So we have to take comfort in His providence. I mean, think about the life of Job. suffered. But in the end, everything turned out beautiful. He was blessed far beyond what he would ever have imagined. More than he was blessed before. Many stories in the Bible. Ruth. How she was blessed even when she had lost her husband. And yet was blessed, ended up with being in the line of Christ. Count it all joy when you go through trials. William Cowper, you all, I'm sure, know about him. He wrote this hymn, and I'm going to be closing soon. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep and in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. You fearful sins, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessing on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan His work in vain. God is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. God interprets His own works. And even in the moments when we don't understand, a time will come when He will make it all plain. Because we have a Savior, and His name is Jesus. He suffered for us. He was wounded for our transgression, the Bible says. The chastisement that brought us peace fell on Him. By His stripes, we are healed. And there is the gospel. Do you realize that He can bring healing to all of your diseases? As human beings, we have diseased hearts. Sin diseased souls. And we come to Christ. He heals us. Purges us of our sickness, of our sin. Gives us wholesome life. So that like Peter's mother-in-law, we can get up on our feet and serve Him. We can't serve Him any other way. We must be healed first from our sin. And then we are ready to serve Him joyfully. Because He gives us the power, the ability to do so by His cleansing blood. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. Let's pray. Oh God, here we are, Your children. We call on You. Come and help us. Bring healing to our souls, that we may be made whole in Christ. and enabled and empowered to serve you joyfully all the days of our lives. Deal with our practical problems, Lord, each one, you know them. We bring them all before you. You told us, cast your burdens upon me. So we do so, Lord, in faith, trusting in your goodness, your power, trusting in your providence. May your will be done in us to your honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.